A deal to get food to North Korea and the ways it could go wrong.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. We start with the global perspective on business and economics. Today, North Korea, which has reached a deal with the U.S. to suspend its nuclear program in exchange for U.S. food aid. Because of sanctions, the U.S. hasn't sent food to North Korea since 2009, despite reports of significant malnutrition in the country. For more, we go to the BBC's Lucy Williamson in South Korea. Good morning.
Morning.
So as part of the deal, the U.S. has released hundreds of millions of pounds in food aid to North Korea. How significant is that to the people living there?
It depends who they reach, is the short answer. And one of the things that's held up that food aid from the American point of view is ensuring they can get proper access to monitor where it's going. They're worried any food they give North Korea may be diverted to feed the enormous army they have there and not go to the people who, we are told by aid agencies, are severely malnourished in some parts of the country.
Now, are there any provisions in place to make sure the food gets to the right people?
The U.S. State Department is saying that they have got assurances that their monitors will be able to get to have the access they need. That's, of course, a hugely wide-open question. I mean, this takes us to a situation where you've got a broad agreement between North Korea and the U.S. about what will happen, but you don't have much of the nitty-gritty fleshed out yet, and that's where a lot of these agreements fall down. I mean, certainly much larger deals than this one have been scuppered by the detail.
How big a deal is this agreement to U.S. relations in Asia broadly?
The U.S.-North Korea relationship is at the center of a lot of what goes on here, and this agreement gets us to the starting line, if you like. It's a real turnaround in where we were, but it is only the starting line. It's like everyone's got back in the car and they're staring down the road, you know, but there's a long road to go, and as I say, lots of things could trip this up along the way.
The BBC's Lucy Williamson. Thanks.
Thanks.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed this morning. In Europe, unemployment rose to 10.7%. That's as high as it's been since the euro was established in 1999. In tech news, online review site Yelp will start selling stock to the public tomorrow. And Facebook, which is still early in the IPO process, is working to woo potential investors. The social network has announced new plans for advertising. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us what it'll mean for users. And here's a hint. It's kind of annoying.
Take the ad campaign for Titanic. It's about to be re-released in 3D.
I'm the king of the world!
Facebook marketing executive Mike Hofflinger says that trailer may now appear in multiple places on Facebook in the news feeds of
Titanic's 17 million global fans and their 700 million friends.
I'm the king of the world!
On the pages users see when they log out of Facebook. And in the feeds on their cell phones and tablets. Deborah Aho Williamson is with eMarketer.
They have never had advertising on mobile device before, which is way overdue in my opinion.
Mike Barrett of media buyer Universal McCann says there may have been a reason Facebook's been waiting.
They do run the risk of cluttering people's news feeds.
And of squandering their position as
king of the world!
I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, offering patented protection for the online reputations of professionals and businesses, now including reputation assessments. Learn more at Reputation.com.
This week, Marketplace is rolling out its new Wealth and Poverty Desk. Today, we want to know how income inequality plays with the American public. It's time for our weekly attitude check.
And the latest poll numbers suggest margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Gallup editor-in-chief Frank Newport joins us now, as he does every Thursday. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Where do people believe the middle class begins and ends?
There is no official data from the Census Bureau, so we don't know that way. Sociologists have tried to figure it out for many, many years. The way we do it here at Gallup is we simply ask people, you know, what class are you in? We give them a list of class, and the middle class is actually very popular. Almost half of Americans say, yes, I'm in the middle class. That's a very broad group of people based on their income. And actually, another 17% say I'm in the upper middle class, so that's about two-thirds of Americans who put themselves in the middle class. Very, very few people want to say they're upper class. Very, very few people say they want a lower class. The rest of the people that aren't middle class like the words working class.
Now, at what point income-wise do people say, yep, I'm wealthy, I'm upper class?
You know, that's in the eye of the beholder. But if you really look at the broad spectrum, how much money do you need to make to be rich? $150,000 is the median. That is, half of Americans say something that's under $150,000 a year income would make them rich, and half say something over that. But the data show if you make $30,000 a year, then aspirationally you look up and say, if only I could make $150,000 a year, I would be rich.
I want to ask about the wealth gap, which is growing right now between the very rich and the very poor. Is that something voters care about?
You know, most voters don't. Overall, we gave Americans a long list of about 9 different issues that they could take into account in voting, and lowering that gap between the rich and the poor was 7th out of the 9. The only two things that were lower in priority were immigration and moral issues. So it's not a high priority on average. However, that masks the fact that underneath there, if you're a Democrat and liberal, all of a sudden it shoots way up because they're responding to President Obama's emphasis on lowering the gap between the rich and the poor. But for independents and Republicans, particularly Republicans, it's a very low priority issue.
Gallup's Frank Newport, thanks.
My pleasure.
And finally, you probably know the drill by now. You buy a dishwasher, you want it delivered, and a company promises it sometime in a 4-hour window. It can be maddening, all that waiting. According to the Wall Street Journal, more than half of adults say they've used a vacation day or sick day just to wait around, but that could be changing. The Journal reports there's a trend afoot. Companies are trying to calm customers by decreasing that wait window to 2 hours and letting people know when the delivery truck gets close. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
40 years ago, Dr. Seuss gave us The Lorax, a champion of the environment. With a big screen 3D version set to open, does that message survive?
We can speak for the trees. We can, in negotiations, represent the wildlife that doesn't have a voice.
I'm Kai Rizdal, adapting Dr. Seuss. That story, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street, all next time on Marketplace. From APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.